The Man Savior's Ascension. The Man Savior's Inauguration into His Heavenly Office. If we would understand the ascension of the Man Savior, Jesus Christ, we need to see that it is His inauguration into His heavenly office. This inauguration required a lengthy process that began with creation and continued with incarnation, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection. This process involved the Man Savior as God, man, creator, creature, redeemer, savior, and life-giving spirit. In His ascension, the Lord Jesus was inaugurated to execute God's administration and to carry out God's New Testament economy. In the objective aspect, the Lord's ascension caused Him to be crowned with glory and honor and to be enthroned for God's administration, and made Him the Lord to possess all and the Christ to carry out God's commission. Christ is now on the throne to administrate the entire universe. He is the unique administrator, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All the rulers of the earth are under Him. He is the administrator to execute God's administration and also to carry out God's New Testament economy. His administrating is related to the universe, but His carrying out of God's New Testament economy is to propagate Himself for His reproduction to build up the church, His body, which will issue in the New Jerusalem. How wonderful! Crowned with glory and honor. In His ascension, the Man Savior was crowned with glory and honor. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little inferior to the angels because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor." Here glory and honor are considered a crown. Glory is the splendor related to Jesus' person. Honor is the preciousness related to Jesus' worth. Here, we may also point out that the Lord's dignity is related to His position. As the ascended one crowned with glory and honor, Christ is in a state of glory and has a rank of honor. Christ is glorious in state and honorable in rank. He is above all kings and rulers, this is His honor. He has received such a glory and has entered into such an honor. This glory and honor are the crown with which He has been crowned. Enthroned for God's administration. Another matter related to the objective aspect of Christ's ascension is that He has been enthroned for God's administration. Concerning this, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says that Christ is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. From this verse, we may have the impression that next to the throne of God, at His right hand, is another throne. However, in the book of Revelation, we see that it is only one throne of both God and Christ. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, the Lord says that He sat down with His Father on His throne. Furthermore, Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 speaks of a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 goes on to say of the holy city, New Jerusalem, that the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and 3 do not speak of thrones, one for God and another for the Lamb, but of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Hence it is one throne for both God and the Lamb. In what way are both God and Christ sitting on the one throne? Chapter 20 through 1 of Revelation is helpful in this matter. Verse 23 says, "The city has no need of the sun nor of the moon that they should shine in it, for the glory of God illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb." Here we see that the Lamb, Christ, as the lamp shines with God as the light to illumine the city with the glory of God, the expression of the divine light. Christ the Lamb is the lamp and God is the light within the lamp. Because the light is in the lamp, the light cannot be separated from the lamp. We can see from this how both God and Christ are sitting on one throne. Just as the light is in the lamp, so God is in Christ. Since God is in Christ sitting on the throne, both God and Christ sit on one throne in the heavens. The fact that God in Christ is sitting on the throne means that God administrates the entire universe from within Christ and through Christ, just as the light shines from within the lamp and through the lamp. From this we can see that Christ is enthroned with God. God is on the throne, and this very God is in the enthroned Man Savior. As we consider this, we see that the enthronement of the Man Savior involves the Divine Trinity. The Lord to possess all. The Man Savior, in His ascension, has been made the Lord to possess all. He is now the Lord to possess the whole universe, God's chosen people, and all positive things, matters, and persons. Christ is the Lord not only of God's chosen people, but also of the angels and of all those who will be in the millennium and in the new heaven and the new earth. Therefore, he is the Lord of the heavens, the earth, and of everything and everyone he has redeemed. The man-savior was made the Lord of all to possess all. Christ to carry out God's commission. Acts 2 verse 36 reveals that in his ascension the man-savior was made not only the Lord, but also the Christ. He was made the Christ as God's anointed to carry out God's commission. Our relationship to the ascended Christ. When some hear about the objective aspect of Christ's ascension, they may say, yes, in his ascension the man-savior has been inaugurated into his heavenly office. This is wonderful, but it seems to be something too high for me and too far away from me. What does this have to do with me? In answering such a question, we need to realize that the very Christ in resurrection, the pneumatic Christ, lives in us. According to John chapter 20, verse 22, in his resurrection, Christ came back to the disciples to breathe himself into them. But according to Mark 16, Luke chapter 24, and Acts 1, the Lord ascended to the heavens so that something further could take place. If his relationship with us ceased with his breathing himself into us, it would be difficult for him to work out anything for the accomplishment of God's New Testament economy. After breathing himself into the disciples, it was still necessary for him to be inaugurated into his heavenly office. We may use the election and inauguration of the President of the United States as an illustration. The President does not begin executing his presidency immediately after the election. No, he must wait until the day of inauguration, the day he is inaugurated into his office. Then, after his inauguration, he may begin to carry out his administration as president. Likewise, after the man-savior's resurrection, he still needed to be inaugurated in his ascension. For 50 days after the Lord breathed himself into the disciples, they were quiet. But after the Lord ascended to the heavens and was inaugurated into his post, a great many things began to happen, starting on the day of Pentecost. We need to realize the significance of the man-savior's ascension. In addition to his resurrection, there is also his ascension. Now the very Christ who lives in us and works through us is not only the one in resurrection, but also the one in ascension. The one in resurrection is full of life and power, but he still needs authority in ascension. After his ascension, the Lord has not only life and power in resurrection, but also authority in ascension. Apart from a proper inauguration, a government official cannot have authority. Authority comes through inauguration. Once a person has been inaugurated into a certain post, he has the authority of that office. We need to see that as believers, we have one living in us who has not only life and power in resurrection, but also authority in ascension. The very Christ in resurrection and ascension lives in us and dwells upon us. He lives in us as life, and he dwells upon us as authority. Therefore, we are now one with this Christ in his resurrection and ascension. As a result, we have life and power in resurrection and also authority in ascension. Appreciating the man-savior's resurrection and ascension. We may not have much appreciation for what is revealed in the scriptures concerning the man-savior's resurrection and ascension. We all need the Lord's mercy. We may never have seen into the depths of the truths that are revealed in the Bible. Rather, we may often read the Bible in a very superficial way. We do not go below the surface to see what is in the depths. The Christ who is now living and working within us is the one in resurrection with life and power, and also the one in ascension with authority. The one in resurrection and ascension now lives, works, and operates in us. We need to be impressed with the fact that the Lord's relationship with us does not stop with his resurrection, but goes on to his ascension. Many things happened as a result of his ascension. As God, man, the Creator, a creature, the Redeemer, the Savior, and the life-giving Spirit, he has been crowned and enthroned. He has been inaugurated into his heavenly office to administrate the entire universe and to execute God's New Testament economy. This administration and execution are not only with life and power, but also with authority. He is now in us both in his resurrection and in his ascension. We all need to realize him to such an extent. Recognizing the man's Savior's status and office as we contact him. If we have this realization of the man's Savior as we contact him, our contact with him will be different. Our realization of the Lord makes a great difference in our contact with him. This can be illustrated by our contact with people. If you do not know a person's status and qualifications, this will influence the way you contact him. For example, if you do not know that a certain man is the principal of the school but consider him a janitor, this will surely influence the way you contact him. But if you know that he is the principal, your way of contacting him will be different. It always makes a difference in contacting others when we know their status, qualifications, position, and office. In like manner, if we know the man's Savior's status and office, this will affect our contact with him. Before the man's Savior was inaugurated in his ascension, he passed through the process of creation, incarnation, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection. The creation came into being through him. Concerning this, John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "All things came into being through him, and apart from him nothing came into being which has come into being." Furthermore, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, "In him were all things created in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and unto him." Christ also passed through incarnation. He, as the Word which is God, became flesh. Through incarnation, he brought the creating God into his creature, into humanity. He lived on earth for 33.5 years, and we need to know him in his human living. Eventually, he went to the cross through which he entered into death and had a tour of the region of death. Following this, in his resurrection, he conquered death and nullified it. Because death could not hold him, he walked out of death and entered into resurrection. After his wonderful resurrection and in resurrection, he ascended to the highest place in the universe. He ascended to the heavens. In his ascension, the man Savior was crowned with glory and honor. In his ascension, he was also enthroned to be the administrator over the whole universe. Furthermore, in his ascension, he was made the Lord of all and the Christ to carry out God's eternal plan to propagate himself on earth to produce a body to match him for his expression. Now, when we contact him, we should contact him as such a one. When we contact him, we need to have the realization of what he is, a realization of his status, position, and office. The more we consider his ascension, the more we are in the heavens, for we are in his ascension. Our Christ today is not only the one through whom everything was created, the one who became incarnate, the one who lived on earth, the one who died on the cross for our sins, and the one who resurrected from among the dead. Today, our Christ is the one who, after passing through the lengthy process of creation, incarnation, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection, has ascended to the highest and is in the heavens. In his ascension, he was crowned and enthroned, and he was made the Lord and the Christ to possess all and to carry out God's commission so that God's economy, his eternal plan, may be fulfilled on earth among us and through us in this age. How wonderful that we have such a Christ in ascension! This reading is entitled The Man Savior's Ascension and is compiled from Life Study of Luke by Witness Lee, published by Living Stream Ministry. Life Study of Luke is available for purchase as an ebook in your favorite ebook store. It is also available as an audiobook on audible.com and on Apple Books and in print from livingstream.com.